NPR.
It's Friday, time for Indicators of the Week, and normally there is one indicator that really stands out from the pack as the most important. But this week, it was Indicator-a-palooza. So many important indicators, and we couldn't choose. And so we thought, we should let our listeners choose. And so it is time for Indicators of the Week, Family Feud Edition. We have randomly paired a Planet Money correspondent with some of the biggest indicators of this week, and in 60 seconds or less, they will explain their indicator and make the case for why it should be crowned the Indicator of the Week. Coming up after the break, Jacob Goldstein on GDP, Kenny Malone on corporate earnings, Mary Childs on durable goods, Robert Smith on consumer confidence, and me, your host, Stacey Vanek Smith, on the Case-Shiller Housing Index. Feud starts after the break.
NPR's Planet Money Summer School is back. This season is all about investing. We've got stories of big bets, bubble spotting, and cute animals, too. Every Wednesday till Labor Day from NPR's Planet Money.
It is Indicators of the Week, Family Feud Edition. First up, Jacob Goldstein on gross domestic product, up 6.5% in the second quarter. Jacob, go.
For a while now, there's been this sort of backlash against GDP because, you know, it doesn't measure unpaid work like taking care of your kids, doesn't measure environmental degradation, and clearly those things are really important. But I am here to bring the backlash to the anti-GDP backlash. I'm here to be anti-GDP because attacking GDP because it doesn't measure unpaid work or environmental degradation, it's like attacking a heart scan because it doesn't measure the brain. That is not what it was built to do. What GDP is supposed to do is measure economic output. What is the monetary value for all the goods and services produced in a country? If you want to understand what's going on in a country, you have got to know that. You've got to look at GDP. So we got a new GDP number this week in the United States, and we learned that GDP, which is to say the entire U.S. economy, is still growing really fast. So fast, in fact, that the economy is now bigger than it was before the pandemic. A huge milestone for the United States. Huge week for GDP.
End time.
Woo! Wow.
Woo! Very nicely done.
Yeah, and I mean, if people really want to, like, you know, vote for the obvious one, sure.
Yeah.
Turn off the podcast now.
You want to cheer for the New York Yankees? You want to cheer for the New York Yankees? Vote for GDP.
There is nothing wrong with being basic. There is nothing wrong with being basic.
Wow. Very good, Stacey.
Bring in the heat, Stacey.
The iron fist in the velvet glove.
Lovely job, Jacob. Kenny Malone on corporate earnings. We saw crazy profits from Apple, Facebook, Amazon, Pfizer, and a bunch more. Go.
Okay, wait, before I go, okay. I just want you to know.
Yeah.
I was thinking earnings.
Yeah.
Shakespeare. Shakespeare-ningsian sonnet.
Oh.
You wrote a sonnet?
But then I started writing and I was like, this isn't actually a very fun poetry form. So this is a Shakespeare-ningsian sonnet. I've changed the rhyme scheme to be more fun, I think. That's all I'm going to
say. Oh my God.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's earnings? The quarterly disclosures for which Wall Street is yearning. From Google, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, the so-called mega caps the market depends on. Tech companies have grown bigger and bigger, and so their financials should be our indicator. This week, we saw tech earnings expand even faster than analysts planned. And by the way, this was during the same time period when we also saw one of their CEOs go to space and safely land and also show up at a press conference wearing a cowboy hat and say this thing that got universally panned.
I want to thank every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer. Because you guys paid for all of this.
Anyway, yeah, bad. Anyway, people say that we have entered a new gilded age and that we need some kind of a mega tech gauge, which is why tech earnings reports are perfect indicators. They are, after all, being read carefully by the U.S. government's team of antitrust regulators.
Bravo, bravo.
Bravo. Hooray. That is the best earning sonnet I've ever heard.
Well played.
Okay, are we ready?
Mary Childs, durable goods orders up 0.8% in the last month, accompanied by her own durable good, her dryer.
I'm Mary Childs, and here's why durable goods orders are the best way to gauge economic health. This indicator is a monthly report from the Commerce Department that shows how much businesses are ordering of stuff that's meant to last at least 3 years. Things like washing machines, tractors, airplanes, computers, a new robot that will help boost productivity. It is information from wholesalers and retailers, so companies that sell other companies and companies that interact directly with consumers. And it's the best because it's forward-looking, first of all. It shows what businesses are gearing up for, preparing for, but it does show you the past, too, because it shows you what businesses are working off of their old inventories or if they're scrambling to refill depleted ones. Best of both worlds. It's also the best because it's what businesses are actually doing. It's not adjusted according to generally accepted accounting principles. It's not just people saying how they feel. It's not some puddle of arbitrarily chosen factors mushed into one meaningless number that purports to tell the whole truth about an economy yet systematically undervalues the contributions of women and people of color. Durable goods orders are cold, hard facts about how the U.S. manufacturing sector is doing. Are you on a wait list for a new dishwasher? Durable goods. Begging a dealer to sell you a new car? Also durable goods.
Time!
Woo!
I really liked the dryer in the background. That was delightful. Robert Smith, consumer confidence, strongest showing in a year and a half. Go.
I'm here to talk about my feelings. Well, not just my feelings, the feelings of the American consumer, the Consumer Confidence Index. Every month, the index does a survey of thousands of people about their expectations for the economy. Do you think you'll still have a job? Do you think you'll have more money? And then it puts all those predictions into one easy number. All these other indicators you've heard about, they just tell you about the past. GDP is from months ago. Sonnets are 400 years old. Consumer confidence is about the future. And this month, people feel pretty good about the future. The index is at its highest point of the entire pandemic, which, think about it. All the bad news we've been hearing, the Delta variant, inflation, Simone Biles, none of that bad news has affected people's willingness to spend money this fall. So don't look at the indicators of yesterday. Yesterday is gone. Look to the indicator of tomorrow, the feel-good leading indicator of the week, consumer confidence. Confidence. Confidence.
Done.
Confidence.
Wow, you confidence. Slow walked it, Rob.
Robert's trying to get everybody to do a confidence cheer, but nobody's taking him up on this.
You can't. I mean, we're all competing. You know, there can be only one, Robert. We're not. If you lure us into a confidence cheer, I feel like you've already clinched it.
But that's right.
What if thousands of listeners right now are chanting confidence?
In their homes. Stacey Vanek Smith, Case-Shiller Home Index. 3, 2, 1.
Okay, the Case-Shiller Housing Index is an index that tracks single-family home prices. And the reason that this is clearly the most important of the indices is that when it comes down to the actual thing that matters the most to people and the money that they have to spend in their own assets, it is their homes. The value of their homes is what makes people feel like they're wealthy or not wealthy or stresses them out or gives them confidence. So the fact that the home price index is up 16.6% to a record high is just huge. About two-thirds of families in the U.S. own their homes, and now they are wealthier. That they are like 16% wealthier than they were a year ago. That is amazing. And that will have reverberations across the whole economy. One thing to remember, too, is that this could potentially exacerbate the wealth gap because the people who do not own their homes yet are suddenly finding that homes are out of reach, but the people who do have their homes are significantly wealthier than they were, and this is going to be a huge game changer across the economy.
Game changer across the economy. Pretty good ending note.
You had me at indices.
So
why did we spend all day on this if she's just going to do this off the top of her head?
Just crush us? Yeah.
That, you guys are being very, very nice.
You go to somebody's house for a dinner party, you say the food is delicious.
But the food was delicious.
Jacob is not playing nice. I'm sorry.
Wow. That was very good.
And that concludes our Indicators of the Week Family Feud edition. And the winner is up to you. Tell us which indicator should be crowned the Indicator of the Week. You can tweet us your answer at The Indicator or email us, indicator@npr.org. We will announce the winner on Tuesday. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Brittany Cronin with help from Isaac Rodriguez. It was fact-checked by Michael Huh. Kate Concannon is our editor, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.